7:49, Galesburg Live. David Erickson, our guest here, to talk about agricultural issues. And one of those, and I think one that maybe has been as prominent in discussion on the national level, David, has been concerns of producers as far as the EPA is involved and what are thought to be EPA overreaches, especially this Waters of the U.S. rule. And so I guess let's start off with talking about the concerns there and maybe the hopes with the new Trump administration and Scott Pruitt, the newly appointed EPA nominee, that maybe this thing will not be quite as bad as some have feared.
Well, I think that we've done a good job in agriculture raising the concerns. You know, let me be clear. Agriculture wants to do its part to be a part of a healthy environment, not only for ourselves, but all citizens. But I think that we need to look at what makes sense and how do you do things through a voluntary basis to provide incentives, whether they're just doing the right thing or others, versus regulatory enforcement. Don't get me wrong, there are times when regulatory enforcement's needed, but I think a first step is to allow for the timely and, if you will, measured approach through doing it through a voluntary basis. You mentioned Waters of the U.S. That's clearly one that affected far more than agriculture. It used the thought that, and it is true to an extent, that all water ends up someplace. So the water that fell on the parking lot yesterday or the day before out here ends up someplace. So that's a Water of the U.S. in the parking lot out here. And you may actually be required to do some different things to make sure it stays in compliance as it makes its way to streams and rivers. So agriculture, both at the state and national level, we've been engaged in the discussion. We've tried to inform, provide additional information as EPA has made some of these additional decisions. And it's going to be incumbent on us to be engaged further. I don't think we can make an assumption that all regulation is going to go away. But I do think that we have the opportunity to re-inform and communicate with a new administration that hopefully will have the opportunity to listen as well. I'll be honest, I think that at the state level, we've had a good relationship with the Illinois EPA and the ag community. We want to continue to develop that and see if we can't carry that on at the national level as well.
Yeah, I think the concern wasn't so much some of the other issues about with the Waters of the U.S., but the land rights. I mean, is a farmer going to have to fill out paperwork? The thought was every time there's some small change on his land, and I think that was I don't know, you know, necessarily from the financial standpoint of the fines that might be involved in some of these things they were talking about, but just the thought that you own this land and obviously, like you said, you don't want to be a polluter. But on the other hand, you want to be able to have some autonomy over your own property.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a property rights issue to, in a large extent, that you want to be able to be engaged in, you know, developing the way to address the issues in a responsible way, rather than dictated through a permitting process or whatever it may be. So I think we have a good. We have a good record in agriculture of addressing problems through conservation and other efforts, and I think we do need to make sure that we're able to get ourselves aligned and informed on issues that are important to U.S. agriculture as well. I think the nominee, Mr. Pruitt, I think has the opportunity to bring some common sense to that discussion, and hopefully we'll have the opportunity to get to meet him and talk more about it.
Yeah, one of the quotes that I had circled that Scott Pruitt had when he was talking in his one of his confirmation hearings, he said, as Attorney General of Oklahoma, it afforded me the opportunity to travel the state meeting farmers, ranchers, landowners, and small business owners of all sorts. He said, these are good people, hardworking Americans who want to do the right thing by the environment. They want the air that their children breathe and the waters in which they swim to be clean. They want to follow the law, but recently they felt hopeless, subject to a never-ending torrent of new regulations that only a lawyer can understand. They fear the EPA, and that just shouldn't be the case.
Right.
So that, I guess that that's refreshing to think somebody might be coming in there that's not going to try and make it any more of an adversarial situation than it has to be.
Right. Back to that point of, you know, being opening a dialogue, talking about how we can collectively address issues of mutual concern. And I think we're doing it in Illinois through, you know, strong engagement in our nutrient loss reduction strategy. And that leads to cleaner water as it enters streams and rivers. So I know that we've got a good track record in agriculture of doing what we can, and I know we can. We want to stay engaged to see how we can help in the future.
All right, let's talk about a few other issues as we start to wind up our discussion here on Galesburg Live. Always fascinating for many of us, drones. That came up out at Phoenix. What was the thoughts there?
Well, drones are a very exciting part of modern agriculture, and Illinois delegation also led some serious discussion there. We want the safe and efficient and effective use of drones to be a part of agriculture, but we also want to recognize, you know, we've got to do it in a responsible way for not only for residents in areas, but also for the aviation industry as well. So we're excited about the opportunities that technology brings, and our discussion centered on the safe operation, both for the operator, maybe nearby neighbors, but also people involved in aviation as well.
Have you used any of those on your land yet, David?
We have. Our employee has a drone. We've flown it around. You can take a look at some things that you couldn't look at before. I think getting the right, if you will, rules in place through FAA to make sure that we can use it effectively on our property and make some management decisions without being considered a commercial operation is important for agriculture. But we also, you know, we as an organization, we want to tell people that you've got to do it responsibly. You don't, it's like you've been given this chance to use this technology. Now, let's not abuse it. Let's use it in a way that's usable for everyone.
Sure. Another topic that I saw that I don't know much about, the veterinary feed directive. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah. So there's some new regulation, again, regulation coming out about how feed additives can be used in livestock, and really it's a pretty common sense approach. It just allows for the use of those antibiotics or other ingredients for animal health that might be needed to be directed by a veterinarian. So in other words, sort of a prescription approach rather than just being able to purchase it, if you will, straight off the shelf. But it's specifically designed for feed consumption. I think that the idea is that we want to show, again, more in continued responsibility in agriculture, make sure that food is safe for consumers. As you're well aware, but I want to repeat for the listening audience out there, any sorts of drugs, if they're used for animal health, have a withdrawal time period. They must be taken out of the feed prior to those animals being harvested for human consumption. So we just want to, I think this gives further clarity that those products are being used in a safe and wise manner.
Coming up, the Government Affairs Leadership Conference. I got that on your radar.
Right. Coming up March 1st and 2nd, Illinois Farm Bureau has our Governmental Affairs Leadership Conference. We have it in Springfield. One of the highlights is we have a reception for legislators that are in town where we can meet and greet. We'll have somewhere between, maybe 250 and 300 members there. We get a nice turnout in the 40 to 50 legislators there. But it's really an advocacy conference where we're talking to members about how they engage in the legislative and process, not only at the state level, but also the local level. Local government just as important for our members to be involved in as state and national. So that's a conference that's held annually that we think helps get members engaged in those issues.
Mm-hmm. You always hear the term grassroots when you hear Farm Bureau, and you're still holding true to that, aren't you?
Yeah, we know that the best way to send our message is through people who are closely engaged on and how those issues affect them on a daily basis. So we need to get those people in front of local, state, and national decision makers so they can understand how it affects their farms, their businesses, their families.
Another thing I noticed that Illinois was recognized for at the annual meeting, the New Horizon Award. They said Illinois, one of six states, the IFB's Nutrient Stewardship Grant and Scholar Award for donations to the foundation, too. Another recognition of Illinois.
Yeah, we were delighted to get the New Horizon Award. There's one given for each of the membership classifications. Illinois is in the largest membership category in AFBF. And we're recognized for programs that the exciting part, Jim, is it's programs that really County Farm Bureau has carried out that were started by Illinois Farm Bureau. One of those, the Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy grants that went out to County Farm Bureaus. Knox County had one of those where they had a installation and then had an open house, if you will, for a saturated buffer strip, worked with Soil and Water Conservation District and getting that done. So we're very pleased that not only was it a new program that Illinois Farm Bureau did, but it's a program that we did collectively with County Farm Bureaus and other partners in local communities.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the one for the Scholar Award for donations, I mean, the foundation is a big thing, and Illinois gives a lot of credence to that.
We do. Illinois Farm Bureau has about... we'll give away in excess of $100,000 through 70-some scholarships. And the big thing is, I think my number's right, nearly $500,000 is given annually when you consider Illinois Farm Bureau and County Farm Bureau scholarships that go to young people pursuing a career in agriculture-related fields. So it's pretty exciting. And we're glad to be a part of it. We're in the midst of that for Illinois IA Foundation, so you can get online and apply.
And you will be doing a little bit of that with the foundation raising money today, live auction out at the annual meeting, right?
Absolutely. The Knox County Farm Bureau Foundation, those efforts go for Ag in the Classroom efforts as well as scholarship efforts that the foundation does here in Knox County. So we appreciate everybody's support.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they've got it laid out well. They have the live auction for that just before lunch. So before you can eat, you got to help out a little bit.
That's right. You got everyone's attention.
That's right. David, thank you so much for coming in on a busy time for you as always. And have a great meeting out there this morning. Always a pleasure, David. Appreciate all your work.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me in. Thanks for everything you do to spread the word about agriculture.
It's our pleasure. David Erickson of Knox County, the Illinois Farm Bureau Vice President, ahead of this morning's annual meeting out at Lake Story. We'll talk with Ray Deffenbaugh from Big Rivers Resources. We'll talk ethanol in just a little bit as Galesburg Live continues on WGIL.